How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to KeyboardCast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the 1.0 release of the Outlast Trials.
But probably mostly gaming news and catch up. Yeah. We haven't been here in a couple weeks.
We haven't been playing a lot of games because there haven't been a lot of new games, honestly.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I mean, I think I've played, like, I haven't really played anything. Like, we played Outlast. I finished Elden Ring, finally. Caleb helped me beat the fire giant, then we did the boss rush at the end.
Also, wait, I actually, last night, Zevi and I were on the chat, and I was like, I've never actually done a full, like, mage playthrough. Like, a magic playthrough. And so, I went on my NG7 character, reallocated everything to magic, and I had, like, a bunch of spells and stuff. And then I used Common Azure, which is the laser, the blue laser. And I got all the way to Fire Giant within 40 minutes.
But that was NG plus 8?
NG plus 8.
Does everything scale with you or no?
So basically every NG cycle, it scales health and everything scales up. Up until NG 7. And anything past NG 7 is the same as NG 7. So basically, like, you can go from NG 7 to NG 100 if you really wanted to, and it's the same as NG 7. But it's like, that's the hardest you can get it to. But
I also restarted a playthrough. I started with the Samurai this time, prepping for the DLC that's releasing in the summer.
That's going to be so fun. I'm excited for that. Is that June?
June 21st.
Nice. I was going to say, but that made me want to, like, that was so fun playing with Caleb, and even Zevi joined me too. That I want to do a Dark Souls 3 playthrough with multiplayer.
That would be fun.
Because I will literally play the whole game with someone. Like, it's so fun. It's just...
It won't be as annoying because in Elden Ring... What just happened?
That was weird.
In Elden Ring, as soon as you go together, you start getting invaded. There's not as many people playing Dark Souls 3, so there's a less of a chance of you getting invaded when you're playing multiplayer. So it won't be as annoying.
It'll still happen, though.
Yeah.
And those people are extra sweaty.
They all have the meta builds.
Yeah, for real.
It's annoying.
All right, what do we got on our itinerary?
Dragon's Dogma 2, something I've been watching for a while now. Chuck and I both played the first game a little bit.
I played it for like 40 minutes.
Yeah, me too. Is that like Skyrim?
Is that kind of
what they say?
Not really. I mean, it has its more own unique systems.
It's more hardcore than Skyrim, I'd say.
Skyrim is like every Bethesda game ever. Dragon's Dogma is more like hardcore RPG, more involved with talking to people around the world.
Oh. What was that game you and I played? Was it Outward?
Outward. That game was
the alien one?
No.
No.
It was a fantasy RPG, but it was very difficult.
It's a two-player co-op fantasy RPG.
Well,
and you can get mods that you can increase the amount of people that play, but it's that game was hardcore.
Yeah.
It's insanely hardcore. What in the world?
Like, you die and you lose all your stuff. But you have to go back to the same point in the world and collect it. And, like, you might actually get put into, like, a cave from creatures or something. And you have to fight your way out of it with nothing. And eventually you kind of learn how it works and you don't die quite as much.
Yeah.
You can get a backpack that all your stuff goes in. And you can actually detach the backpack before combat. Because if you die with the backpack on, the enemies will take it. But if you leave it somewhere, you can go back to that spot and grab your backpack.
This is Dragon's Dogma? Or...
No, this is Outward. Okay. But it's like that.
Oh, okay.
At least in Dragon's Dogma, Chuck reminded me, there's a system where you create, it's called a pawn. Like, is your main character also the same system?
You create your own character, yeah.
And then you can create the side characters that go with you and give it a name and stuff. And then you could see those characters throughout the world or characters that other real people have made.
They also permanently die.
Yeah.
If they die, they're dead.
Your side characters?
Yeah.
Which is cool, because you could play the entire game with some, like, side character, grow to really like them, and then, like, the final boss kills them or something.
What about their personality? How does that work? Like, how do you...
I think there's preset personalities.
Oh, okay.
I would assume so.
Yeah, it was older, so it wasn't super advanced, but a lot of people liked it.
Yeah, so it's mixed right now because I saw footage and it looks really cool.
It was mostly negative, actually.
When it first released, but it's mixed now.
Oh, okay.
Because of optimization.
In microtransactions, which Capcom straight up lied to everybody about that they weren't.
Oh, it's Capcom. That's interesting.
Huh. Yeah, Capcom. They straight up, like, no mention of any microtransactions at all before launch.
Wait, no mention? Like, they said they wouldn't put it in?
They didn't say they wouldn't, but there was they didn't tell people they were doing
it. So that's technically not a lie. Like, right now, you expect it, unless they say otherwise.
Yeah, but it's a single-player game, though. It's like...
Oh, it's my left ear.
It's like, it's like adding skins to, like, God of War Ragnarok.
Wait, you
like
moved with the store. And now I only hear it in my left ear.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's good.
Oh, I don't know. It's so like finicky. It's like adding skins to, like, God of War Ragnarok or a paid store to Last of Us. That type of thing. Like,
there was that. For the multiplayer?
Oh, the first
well,
game.
Well, that's... Yeah. Right? The
yeah.
original.
Like, I don't know. If it's not game-breaking, at this point, you kind of got to just take it or leave it. Like, you don't have to buy anything. If they don't require you to pay to win, then it's just up to you if you want to spend extra money or not.
Is it just skins, though?
You're paying to play the game less, if that makes sense. So you get, like, you can buy, like, fast travel.
Yeah, that's
gems.
Oh, okay.
That's pay to win.
Like, it's basically, yeah, it's pay to win.
But like, you don't have to do that, right?
It's like a, yeah. What is it? It's like people are like, oh, I have a job, so I can't play the game as much, so I might as well just buy this stuff that would get me farther into the game. It's like, what's the point? Just play the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if they don't purposely make it annoying to do those things so that you inevitably go buy stuff, I don't really care. Unless they, like, almost require you to buy this stuff because it would be tedious otherwise.
Out of nowhere, they just like, oh, there's the less supply of these crystals in the world all of a sudden, randomly. Oh,
shortage.
No. Wait, there's a microtransaction.
Yeah.
Look at that.
What's Riven?
Riven is the sequel to Myst.
Oh.
It's a puzzle game, yeah. I just saw that Riven is getting a remake this year, and I'm like, yes. Because the Myst remake was sick.
Was that really a sequel to Myst?
Yeah.
Because I know there's like three or four.
There's Myst 2, Myst games. But it's... I don't know if it's an unofficial sequel, but it's... I don't know.
Hmm.
I'm not 100% sure about the lore behind it.
What's this about the Among Us show?
I actually saw a casting for that.
Elijah Wood or something was in it.
Is what? He really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I saw someone being cast, and it was really funny. Like,
it's an animated show, though, so it's all, like, voice
well,
acting.
If it was live action, that would be horrible.
That'd be hilarious.
That would be... No, that would be the dumbest thing ever.
Elijah Wood is in it, yeah.
Who else is in it?
That's the only one that I recognized.
Nicole Brown, Ashley Johnson. I don't really know their names, but you've seen these people before.
So Ellie's going to be in in Among Us?
The guy from Jim.
Oh,
Alternate Jim from The Office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember that guy? I don't know his name, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean,
Randall Park.
If they don't take it seriously, or don't, if it doesn't take itself too seriously and just have fun with it, it could be kind of
if
a
it's
fun
a comedy,
show.
Yeah,
that type
yeah.
of thing.
But
like
I,
the Cuphead show.
I fear, well, yeah. Cuphead is hilarious. That show is so funny.
Yeah,
it's like old fashioned SpongeBob, just like out of pocket.
I actually haven't watched that fully.
Mm. It's funny, but
can
I
you
just hope they don't
bump that thing again. It keeps like cutting in and out for me. Hello. Yeah, it's good. I don't know why it keeps doing that.
What was I gonna say? I just hope they don't make it like super kiddish. Like, I don't know, maybe like regular show level. Like,
I mean, Cuphead is funny for kids or older people too.
Yeah,
because they throw in like jokes that older people get too.
I just don't want it to be like really
kind of like with SpongeBob. SpongeBob did the same thing too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, stuff like regular show and even Adventure Time kind of like push the envelope on some of that stuff. But. We'll see. I'll probably watch it just for the meme.
Maybe like one episode, and if it's really stupid, then
I don't know what. Like, you know what? You know what it's gonna be? I bet it's like the season's gonna be trying to figure out who the imposter is,
and they reveal it at the very end.
Yeah, something like that.
They slowly die off throughout the episode,
like a clue or something.
I don't know because Among Us, the characters don't have faces. So I don't know how they're going to...
They're being cast as colors. Like Elijah Wood is blue or something.
Yeah, I know, but how are they going to have character development without...
I don't think
you
they care
being
about
able to
character
see...
development.
Well, you know what I'm trying to say,
well,
though,
they'll
right?
find a way to make their emotions through the body language and stuff.
Yeah.
Could be odd though.
Oh,
the Battlefront Classic Collection.
I totally forgot about that. We've been gone for a couple weeks. There's like, a lot that's happened.
We were mildly interested, but we never thought it would turn out great just because, I mean, how could it? It's a game from 2004?
2004 and 5.
That they're not even remastering. They were just like putting a couple basic textures in the game.
They kind of did the same thing with Dark Souls Remastered.
No. That, I mean, even though that one wasn't amazing, this is worse. They removed lots of content from the original 2005 game.
That's crazy.
And the game was 70 gigabytes.
Well, also, when it launched, they only had servers that could handle, like, what, a couple hundred people?
There were three servers.
Yeah. Three servers.
With 60
people couldn't get on.
Four players each.
Such a joke. Like,
I can't believe that. Like,
ridiculous.
So imagine buying the game and then not being able to play.
There was over 10K people that were wanting to play on launch day.
And who wants to play single player? Like, that game you play online.
Well, $30 game. The game, you can literally just... JJ and I, we both own both of them. We own both Battlefronts on Steam. You can go and play Battlefront 2. It's like 10 gigabytes. There's a ton of servers. There is still online. Like, they're not, like, official servers, but...
Yeah.
You can go play online. The whole reason to buy this collection is to play online.
And there were some issues, like... If you play it on 144Hz monitor on the old one, it gives these weird artifacting all over the screen. Mm. And I was thinking, hey, maybe if the new one's actually good, we'll actually be able to play it with a modern menu and stuff like that. But no, they removed half of the cutscenes in the game.
Wow.
Like with Temuera Morrison, mm-hmm. the original clone voice, like he was narrating them. And like it was actually interesting story that they gave. But I don't know, probably for space reasons, they just cut out half of them.
How is it 70 gigs? That blows my mind.
Because all they did was upscale textures and put them in the game without optimizing the file size.
They were lazy.
And modders are going in, and they're finding code that's just straight up removed. Like, comments are still in the code saying what it was, but the code is removed. Because wow. they're just so incompetent with it. Like, there's no excuses. It's awful.
Aspyr, they were the ones that did the Arkham Knight PC port back in 2015, which was like considered like
bad,
the worst PC port ever made.
How are these people still in business?
I don't know.
Like, this is just atrocious. I can't believe they would release a game like that and think it was okay.
That's crazy. Why is this? I feel like this is happening so often now. Like,
they're not making anything new, and the new stuff they make is just microtransaction filled.
Yeah,
but I mean, Helldivers 2 is something that's new. Does microtransactions right.
Yeah.
And they're adding new content, like the flying bugs.
Oh, flying bugs. That's going to be interesting.
They've already added them.
Oh, really?
Potential... I was playing with Ben last night. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, we were taking turns on the PS5 because he wants to get it, but he doesn't own it.
Oh, yeah. What is it? He's been playing Forbidden West on my PS5.
Yeah, he told me. He says so, it's fun.
It looks pretty cool, actually, but...
Illuminate?
Illuminate. Yeah, yeah, there's Illuminate leaks.
They have, like, mind control people. They use a lot of electricity. There's like these huge, like walking towers that shoot like beams of electricity at you. Wow. And stuff.
I want to hop back into Helldivers when they release the Illuminate.
They just released two new weapons the other day. A heavy machine gun, which I haven't tried, and this laser cannon that like one-shots chargers, and it has unlimited ammo.
Really?
Yeah, it's really powerful. People are saying buff it or nerf it or whatever, but I hope they don't nerf it. It's really fun.
Honestly, I hope they don't really nerf anything else.
No. It's not even locked behind the pass either. It's just in the regular stratagems.
Oh, wow.
So, like, they just keep adding cool stuff, and I like following the live-action events, or the live-service events, even if I'm not actively playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people will randomly start getting one-shotted off-screen by electricity, and it's probably the Illuminate.
Oh.
That's, like, hiding in the bushes, that's like, watching players. And then at some point, they're just going to start, like, adding them into, like, 1% of players' games.
Huh.
And a few of those might leak it online, and it'll get people talking about it.
That's what happened with the mech leaks, right?
Yeah, they started putting them very rarely into some games. And, well, first off, there were hackers that hacked the game and found it in the files.
Oh.
But then they actually started putting them in games, like, very rarely, and people found those legitimately. And then they finally just released them after an event.
That's sick.
But that one is, it's one that subverted a lot of expectations. And even though there's microtransactions, it's not pay to win.
They're not pushy with it.
Well, because you can literally earn the same armor sets with the same or not the same armor sets, but the same passives on the armor sets in the free pass.
There's no FOMO because the battle passes they come out with are always there.
Mm-hmm.
So like if there's one you really like, you join the game a year from now, you can just jump back and get like the second battle pass or whatever.
Yeah.
There's also Warzone Mobile, which released.
Have you tried it?
It was pretty impressive. I'm not going to lie.
That's sick.
Is everyone on there a bot?
Yeah. It looked really good. Like, I was surprised. It looked like, I don't know. It didn't look bad. Like, it looked like I was playing, like, on a console or something. Like, maybe PlayStation 4 level graphics.
That's pretty good. Phones are powerful now.
Yeah. And it ran pretty well, and it was fun. It was nice to play Verdansk and Rebirth Island again. Although Rebirth Island's coming to PC Warzone in like a few
days.
Can't you use
the same skins?
Yeah, that's also something that's really cool. So you can use your same guns, your same skins.
In the game?
Yeah, or you can cross progression.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Is it the same level too? Like you can, if you play on your mobile device, you can level yourself up on MW3? Or is it MW2?
MW3. It's under MW3 weapons and everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Gearbox was sold to Take-Two Interactive.
Well, not currently, but it's like in progress right now. But yeah,
Gearbox made
Borderlands.
Mainly. Oh,
that's their biggest thing. Yeah,
Gearbox.
They also didn't they buy Risk of Rain?
Yeah,
which I heard people were unhappy about them as a publisher, not necessarily them as a developer.
Well, I mean, their most recent stuff hasn't really been that great. Like, Borderlands 3 wasn't as big as the other ones. Wonderlands wasn't as big. Their sequel to the Tales from the Borderlands game was absolute dog water.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Wasn't Take-Two part of the Borderlands series? I thought that was one of the opening logos.
Take-Two?
I thought that was...
Take-Two is they own like Rockstar and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Huh. They're like a publishing
Mafia,
company.
Yeah.
Rockstar. What am I saying?
They own 2K.
Oh, okay.
Own 2K.
Yeah, they own 2K Rockstar Private Division, which made
Outer Kerbal, Worlds
the Kerbal, Private Division.
Outer Worlds and Kerbal Space Program. And they also own Social Point, which made Monster Legend Tasty Town. I think it's mobile.
Mobile games. Oh. Tasty Town. 460 million. They're in the progress with?
Yeah.
I didn't realize they were worth that much.
Honestly, though, Take-Two has been doing a pretty good job with keeping their, like, Rockstar and all those, like, in check. So I feel like this could be a good thing for Gearbox.
What was that launcher they added? Was it 2K launcher?
Yeah.
That was terrible. Oh,
so dumb.
You couldn't even play it on Steam Deck and stuff after that.
I remember. Yeah, that was stupid. But we tried playing Bioshock, right?
Yeah, and you couldn't even get in the game because the stupid launcher wouldn't run.
Yeah, the case?
I don't know. I haven't tried.
V Rising is having a crossover with Castlevania. Let's go.
Yes.
Is that like the game Castlevania or the show?
I think it's...
I mean, they're both...
I think it's
the
game. I'm pretty sure they're only adding... Basically, they're adding a new boss. They're adding Simon Belmont.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's going to be a boss you can defeat. And he'll probably have his own area too.
V Rising was so fun when we played that.
It was. The 1.0 release is coming out this year at some point.
Did they actually add that much content?
Maybe they added two new areas, and then the 1.0 they're going to add even a few new areas after that.
That might be worth jumping back into.
Yeah, I'd play it again.
We could do a private world because I wouldn't want to do a. Didn't we play a PvE world?
Like, there were other players that had castles and stuff, but
there were so many places that we could have made a base that people had bases.
We had a decent sized base.
Yeah, I did enjoy seeing other players.
Why did we stop playing that anyway?
I think maybe we found something else.
Probably another game came out. Yeah. I mean, we'd got pretty far in it. We played it a lot for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's some 20 something, 30 something hours in it.
Yeah. Really fun game. That was like the Diablo style combat.
Yeah,
the top down.
It's like Diablo mixed with, I think, a Souls-like almost.
Yeah, I guess
the bosses, but there's also building, like base building.
Yeah, the building was sick actually. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the
minions where you can like.
Oh right.
What did you do? You had to kill people and then you bring their bodies to the thing and then you.
Resurrect
them, like, or something.
Yeah, slaves or whatever.
Oh yeah, the thralls.
Yeah, it was pretty sick actually.
Yeah, it was fun.
Dune Awakening. This is the Dune survival game they're coming out with.
Yeah.
Is it so? It's open world survival. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. But what's unique about it though, is that the people who are making it, are saying, they're making it to where. Bases aren't the other player's priority. So it's PvP. It's not the bases that you're going to be fighting over. It's the spice. Mm. So basically, they're making it to where bases are going to be like a safe spot for you. And the spice fields are where it's like dangerous.
What might be interesting is if it's like survival extraction shooter, where you never get extracted by a helicopter, but you can choose when to go in and when to go out. And with a bunch of spice. And other players can ambush you and try to get it before you leave the area and stuff.
Is that how it's going to... How is that even going to work?
Well, because you remember from the movie how they had the harvesters?
Yeah.
You probably collect enough materials to make these harvesters.
Is it an extraction shooter?
No. It's a survival... So it's like an open world survival game.
You load in. It's like you load in and then you have a base.
You can go and find a spot, build the base, and then like go and harvest spice.
But other people will be harvesting as well.
Yeah, and you attack them, and you can steal their spice.
That's gonna be really interesting.
So it's like it's different.
Like, since we watched the Dune movies, I've actually been really interested in that whole world. I actually read the first book.
Oh, how was that?
Really good. I like it a lot. I'm gonna read the next one.
Same as the movie, pretty much.
The movie part one followed really closely. Mm. Part two deviated in some ways that I think is actually good.
Mm.
Like, well, I won't spoil it now, but in the movie, there's a character who's unborn, but in the book, that character is born already and ends up like being really overpowered and stuff when they're a little kid.
Oh,
and it's like it would have been really weird if they did that in the movie.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
They couldn't cast a smart like 5-year old or something.
I've seen clips of the old movie and it's really weird.
Oh,
but I really hope with the game. That they try to follow it semi closely, because the way it works is just so cool.
Is it
like the
I can play the trailer.
Yeah, we can watch it. If they were to do it like,
have you seen the trailer?
I saw like a little bit of what Jack Frag showed, but it's not.
Yeah, like if you actually had to actively watch for a worm sign when you're harvesting, and like a worm always comes when you're harvesting, and other people can like get in and get your stuff before the worm comes, that could be really fun and exciting.
That'd be tense.
Yeah.
Is it multiplayer?
It
is. Like, can you have like tribes or like people you play
with? I think so, yeah.
That would be crazy.
Like, I doubt setting up a house you have set up, maybe like a little smuggler.
That'd be fun. Like setting up, like people are on watch and then people can call out for a worm sighting or
that would be really like cool.
Other people coming in.
Maybe if you have more stuff, one person has the ornithocopter, something like that.
Oh yeah,
whatever those things are called, and they're like flying and watching for worm sign, and the other people are down harvesting or defending.
That'd be awesome.
Because we're watching the trailer now for audio listeners, but in the movie when you see Gurney in the second one, he was working for smugglers, and so you might be working for smugglers in the game as well.
It looks good.
It does look good. Actually, looks like Rey from Star Wars.
Yeah.
It looks like a Force Awakens video game.
It's going to be terrifying to see.
They're obviously deviating from the movies slightly. And I hope it's good. Was that a laser gun?
Like a mining gun.
Yeah, because the laser guns in the books were so powerful. Like, if you shot a shield with it, it would almost set off, like, half a nuclear explosion. So that's why they never use guns against shields. So, that's a Hunter Seeker. Can you assassinate players? That looked like an NPC, though.
Yeah. I really hope this is good.
Because it looks like it had potential.
Yeah. This could be huge. Yeah.
I hope it is.
I hope it's hard. I hope it's difficult to base build. Like, you have to actually have to work for it.
Yeah. I hope it's, like, hardcore like Rust, but with a safe spot. So, like, you don't have to worry about your base getting destroyed.
Yeah.
But, like, if you want to actually get resources, you have to fight for them.
Yeah. Who? What about the hover ability? Is that going to be in the game?
The hover ability? Yeah. I saw people saying in the comments, they're like, you know, in a world where you have to worry about rhythmic noises because the worms will come, everyone's fighting with guns on the sand.
There should be guns?
There are guns, yeah.
So the sword fighting would be sick, though.
I hope there's more melee combat. It's hard
Is
to get
it because
that right,
people
though.
Don't have shields in this, like, in the game?
What's that?
Well, you'll probably get shields.
I hope not, because in the shields drove worms crazy, and it would call, like, all the worms in a huge area to just come and destroy everything. So if they do that in the game, that'd be kind of annoying. I really hope, like, maybe there are, like, rocky areas where you can fight with shields.
Yeah.
But, like, on the sands, you have to use ranged weapons.
Combat, like, I don't know. I'm going to say chivalry, maybe.
I doubt they're going to do that in a survival game, but that would be pretty sick.
That would be.
So who's making this?
I don't know.
Apparently, like, if you're out and you're really in need of water, you can drink people's blood in order to get moisture and stuff like that. Because that's actually what they do in the books.
Huh.
Not the way they extract the water. Well, they do have a way to do that, but they made it more tame in the movie.
Oh.
Was it you and I also got Dune Spice Wars.
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
Which it's by the same people who did Northgard.
You were showing me. That looks really fun.
We could potentially do a podcast on it.
Yeah. It's a lot more in depth than Northgard. Like, you have to worry about, I don't know, it was really difficult.
It's very confusing. Like, the villages, you can have like a certain, you could build mini bases in the villages.
You play as a house, and then so you have like influence, you have to vote on things, and then it's a lot.
It looked like Crusader Kings combined with like Northgard ish gameplay. Yeah. I mean, Northgard, I enjoyed the game, but I like games where you have much bigger armies. And I think you could have bigger armies in Dune.
I had a huge army it was massive.
Yeah, you can have a pretty big army.
I saw overall it's not mixed. It might be like very mostly
positive.
People say like they wish there was a story, but I don't think there should be.
There's a single player campaign you can do that kind of changes as you play it, but there's not like an exact story. I don't know how they could actually do a story.
No, it's completely not canon, so it's just more for the world, just like the survival game will be.
And they're constantly adding new houses too. Actually, not constantly, but they just added a new house recently as paid DLC.
I just hope with all the new Dune popularity that they don't go overboard to the point where they ruin it. They don't sell the rights to just every single company who wants to make a Dune game, and then they all do their own thing, and then over time it's just oversaturated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but there's a lot of potential in cool games that could come out.
It's Judas.
Judas?
Judas? The Bioshock.
Yeah.
Type game.
What is it? Jeff Keighley. Apparently, Jake Baldino.
Jake Baldino.
Game Ranks. Yeah, he and a bunch of people he does a podcast with, and then a few other people, they all got invited out by Kevin Levine, I think his name is. They all got invited, and they played like 4 to 5 hours of an early build of the game.
Yeah.
And there was like this huge, I mean, if you're interested, there's like an hour long interview with Kevin Levine. He just talks about the game. So people are unsure.
All those people, they're in the game or they were just talking about it?
They got invited to do a play test of it.
Oh, I see.
Of an early build.
What'd they say?
But basically, they said that it was really fun, but the thing is, they're using... So basically, there's three main characters. There's, like, the sheriff, there's, like, a lady, and then there's another person. And, like, you have a kind of, like, a honor system with them. Mm-hmm. And you can choose who you want to, like, side with. And they said that doing different things is going to change how the game plays, I guess. I don't know, it's... They also were experimenting with, generation, like AI generation.
Oh.
I'm not 100% sure about it. People are saying that the ship is going to change. Like, it's going to be randomly generated, but not randomly generated. Like, they built sections of the ship, like, perfectly, but it's going to move as you play it. So every single game, every single time you play through the game, it's going to be different.
That could be cool. I mean, think about BioShock. There's a lot of different areas you go to. And aside from the dialogue, it's not like it's a huge, like, spoiler going from section to section. You could actually rearrange those sections, put a different dialogue over it, and it would play the same.
Yeah, that is true. So, I mean, people are just unsure of exactly what the game's going to be or play like.
The problem with that is they don't optimize it for one specific map, and it might be suboptimal with certain layouts.
Apparently, he basically said that they're making the game kind of like Lego bricks or something, virtual Lego bricks.
Huh.
So basically, like, you could build, like, Lego bricks in any order you want to or something.
Who's you? The player?
The player.
What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, how you go about going through the ship. But people are like, if it's built like that, then how is the story going to be? Is the story going to be good? Because if it's going to be random for every single person going into the game, how is that going to work?
Maybe, like, there are certain objectives you have that are just, like, each section of the map has objectives you could have in on that, and it just assigns you one of those based on the story.
Yeah, I'm just unsure of exactly what the game's trying to be.
Mm. As long as the story is, like, the same.
Yeah.
And it threads you through, everything else, I guess, doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that is true.
I did see Enshrouded had an update when I booted Steam.
Is that a new map? Or
not new map. They just added a new, like, explorable location in each area.
I thought maybe it was, like, a new portion of the map opened up.
I doubt that that's going to come out anytime soon.
What does that mean, explorable location?
I don't know, like, a new... Remember, like, you can go to the temples and they have the seeds in them and you could destroy the seed. Like, it's a new version of, like, not that exactly.
Or something?
Some sort of, like, temple you can explore. And there's, like, a bunch of them for like, four or five different areas or something. It looks interesting, but...
I probably won't play it until they release the full thing.
Yeah, same.
That's going to be crazy. Whole new set. I mean, there's only half of the map right now.
Yeah, I know. If they can work out a lot of the small annoyances...
Apparently, there were a bunch really of optimization... updates with this update as well.
I wonder if they fixed the frame rate issue.
Yeah, possibly.
That would be nice. I think that was it for the...
that's a lot of...
That's 45 minutes of intro talk. We could talk about Outlast now. It's probably going to be a short section, to be honest. Maybe like 10, 15 minutes or something.
Because we did play this fully like last year.
It's not really that
when it released.
Different.
No. Well, the thing is, we didn't actually get to... The changes. We just played missions that we had already played.
Yeah, but there were no changes to the core gameplay, just things added.
There's changes to progression, like major changes.
How does the progression change?
So when the game released, obviously each mission, like kill the snitch or...
Well, let's explain the whole Outlast thing.
Well, yeah, you can go into the story.
So everyone's probably heard of Outlast 1, probably considered the most... Or the scariest horror game ever made. Or one of them, at least. I'd have to say, for me, it probably is. And then there's the sequel, Outlast 2, which wasn't as highly regarded, but still was an overall pretty good game. And then there's Outlast Trials, which is a multiplayer up to four people.
Four-player co-op.
What would you call it? Like, mission-based?
It's like Extraction, isn't it, kind of?
Not really.
When you go in, you do your mission and leave.
I think Extraction is like... You can do a lot of things and then leave whenever you want. Mm. But this is more of like you can only leave after completing the mission. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we were always on the fence about it before it came out because, you know, it's multiplayer. How scary can that be compared to the terrifying single player first game?
It's a different experience.
It's very different. And it's more disturbing than scary.
Yeah, I don't think it's scary.
Nothing really is. There were a couple times where you open a door and someone's right there and jump scares you, but they don't pack it full of jump scares. Most of the time, you don't even hide because
you run.
Run or chuck bottles at the guy.
Yeah.
I'm sure on higher difficulties, you do need to hide, but when we played that in early access, it was just too hectic.
Was it those jump scares though? They get kind of like maybe the first or second time it gets you, and then like the third time it's like, okay, dude, really?
Oh,
chill out. Were there jump scares?
Old lady,
the lady that jumps out of the lockers or the barrels or.
Oh, I don't even know if I've seen that.
She's weird. You gotta like
someone has to help you. Like you can help her or get her off.
You throw a bottle at her, but you have to unlock.
I didn't see it this time. Last time we played. But how many missions are there total? Like unique missions.
So there's. At least as far as we got, because there's different programs. There's five main like long missions that are unique.
That's five separate maps.
Yeah, five separate maps. And then there's two missions that are like 10 to 15 minutes long, not long missions at all, that take place on those same maps. So basically you play a main mission and you unlock two side mini missions. But you could just skip those mini missions if you want and go to the next main mission.
And you can still, quote unquote, leave with just the main missions?
Yeah. No. No. You have to complete all the missions, all 15 missions. So there's five main, 10 mini.
How many did it used to be? Because I remember the number was kind of ridiculous.
Well, this is the progression change. But basically, it used to be there were three main missions. And what is it? There were five different variations of each mission. So basically what you had to do was you had to play the easiest difficulty and then you unlock a couple main missions and you have to play those or like side missions. And then you do unlock a new difficulty version of the first mission you played. Then you play that and it's harder. And then you unlock a couple more missions that are small. Mm-hmm. And then you unlock a harder version of that other mission you played. So it's the same thing like 3 to 4 times. But they changed it to where you only have to play those missions through once.
That was my biggest complaint about the early access. I hated playing the harder difficulties to unlock the next mission. Because those are just so annoying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now you can just play through the main ones and then the side missions.
Also, the only way you can get the tokens is if you get to the hardest version of that mission in the program.
That was the previous? In early access, it was like
this
that?
This is previous, yeah. Mm-hmm. This is not like this anymore.
So now it's just one per mission, right?
You get two release tokens per main mission and one per small mission. Mm-hmm. So basically, you need a total of 20 to leave. So basically, obviously, completing the five main missions will gain you 10 tokens, and then completing all the 10 smaller missions will get you 10. So you could just play through all the missions once, and you can escape.
Hmm.
The only other thing I noticed that changed was, I mean, there's a chessboard now in the lobby area.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can arm wrestle, but now you can play chess.
There's a couple. There's one in the kitchen and the upstairs.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's kind of funny.
Hmm.
I don't know if anything else has changed. I mean, we never got to like the end game.
They added one ending, as far as I know. There's at least three like definite endings, and then there's slight variations of the other ones. I don't really know what causes it. I think it actually might just be random, the one you get, because there's not really things you could do to change the outcome.
Maybe the scores you get after each
mission. I don't know, because it's not like they're good or bad. It's more like they're all not great.
It's also kind of a grind too, because once you complete all those missions once, you unlock a new program, which I would assume are like harder versions of the missions you played previously. And then if you, they call it a reagent. So basically like when you like fully escape, you become you reaged like once or something. I don't know. It's really weird.
You're all called reagents though. Everyone in there is called a reagent.
Oh. Then why does it say... Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, the people participating in the program are called reagents.
Basically, if you escape three times, you unlock a second program.
Maybe you get the endings in order, even though they're not like... There's not any major reveals or anything.
I think they're just harder missions.
I do know that
are new.
One of the endings they added is something that integrates with Outlast lore. That's pretty big.
Do you want to throw a spoiler or something?
Because yeah,
we kind of want to hear about it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, this whole week, I had watched a 2-hour video. I got to find the channel's name. It was like Green Box or something. A lot of Outlast and like really lengthy lore videos.
For audio listeners, we're going to go into spoilers, but if you want to, honestly, if you want to hear more about like the game, what we think about it in terms of gameplay, I would go back to listen to our early access podcast on it.
Yeah. Oh, the guy's name is Green Links.
I think I've watched his videos before. I think he makes a lot of Outlast videos, right?
A lot of Outlast. I saw he also did Poppy Playtime or whatever.
Yeah.
Poopy Playtime.
He just did a complete Outlast timeline. It's 4.5 hours long.
Oh my.
Wow.
Goodness.
Because the 2-hour video for Outlast Trials, it wasn't filler at all. He was reading, like he straight up remade every document in the game and put them on screen and read through like summaries of each document. And there are tons of them. Then he went over like the gameplay itself, because there's a lot that of the documents that happened before the game and then after the game.
Documents in Outlast Trials?
I don't know. I don't really know how the documents after the game worked. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that was somewhere else, because there was also an Outlast comic and some of the lore comes from that too.
Hmm.
So there's just a lot. But the overall story is that it's basically an MK Ultra type program. They're trying to break people to turn them into sleeper agents. And then they can do a wake word or whatever, and then they go like kill for them.
Mm.
So they hire this dude named Easterman, and not really hire. They say, yeah, we told you about this program, and if you don't join, we have to kill you now.
Oh.
So that's the dude that talks to you on the TVs.
Oh,
the guy's name is Easterman, and he's the leader of the program. And this is actually the second program he did. First one was a failed trial where like almost everybody died. And basically they wanted people that had like a lot of charisma that would have the ability to influence people. Like they quoted like, you know, Hitler and like other like leaders who were able to like lead people or manipulate large groups of people. And they tried to replicate that. And so they wanted to find criminals who were able to do that. So there's the cop that's in the games. And then there's the big lady, Mother Gooseberry. So the cop was a dude who, like, he was a police officer, and he killed, like, 12 different wives or something crazy like that, and he got away with it every single time because he was able to have so much charisma that he, like, swayed the judges and all the people.
Wow.
And he committed tons of other crimes, and they went to hire him, and the dude that went there, like, the cop, like, nearly killed him, and then, like, this guy's perfect, let's bring him in.
What?
So they hire him as one of the main people. And then Mother Gooseberry, who the little puppet she has is like the skull of her father.
Ugh.
It's really weird. And like she started some like kids program and like convinced all these like children to like join her and then killed them or something. I don't know. It was There's a lot of like pretty morbid stuff. But essentially her and the cop were participants in the first trial. And then they actually went crazy, even more crazy as a result. And now they're like, they were reagents in the first trial. Now they're like participating as in helping turn the reagents into
like
agents.
Instructors, kind of.
Sort of. Even though they don't know that. Like they were put into the levels, which were designed by like Hollywood set designers. And then like they think they own the space because they're crazy.
Yeah.
And people are sent in to do certain missions that are purposely designed to, like, just break their minds. They're just designed to be so disturbing that they don't have any semblance of self. And, like, you see other notes and audio logs and stuff where Easterman's like, out in the outside world, you were nothing. Because usually they're homeless people they captured because they thought no one missed them or something. And he would tell them, like, I'm your father. Sometimes I watch you sleep and I keep you safe when you're asleep and like creepy stuff like that. And you talk to other people too. And there's that nurse lady who she's actually pretty sane. But there's that other guy, the one who has all the tech stuff.
Yeah.
He's like, don't listen to them. Like,
yeah,
they're trying
to say that.
Yeah. They're trying to manipulate you and stuff. I don't remember what the nurse lady's deal was. But really like they're just trying to break people. And a lot of people die in the process. So when you finally actually do release, all the endings are basically you in different sleeper agent situations. There's one of them where you have a bomb strapped to your chest and you drive up to this hotel in Vietnam during the Vietnam War, which is actually a real life event where someone blew up a hotel.
Huh.
And they're implying like the CIA actually paid for these sleeper agents afterwards. Like, they weren't work. It wasn't the CIA doing it. It was Murkoff, but they sold them to the CIA as agents. So, like, one of them, your character, like, blows himself up at this hotel, and like, which is a pretty big world event. Another one was you're in Cuba, and you wake up in a hotel room, and you have blood all over you, and then you see like writings on the wall that you assumedly wrote when you were awake. Like, don't listen to them. Don't do these things. It's not you, and stuff like that. And it's assumed that you killed somebody in Cuba. And I think one of the memos says, like, you killed the wrong person, because I think they were going after Fidel Castro at the time, but you ended up killing the wrong person.
Huh.
And there's a third ending where I can't entirely remember what it was, but the at least one of the endings they released was you wake up in the asylum, Mount Massive Asylum, and you're in the like the test tube chamber thing, and you see the doctor with the wheelchair. And I don't know if you've seen him in game, but he's actually a pretty big Outlast character. And you see like these tentacles like going past your head, and which that's another actually interesting character. But I'll bring that up after. But in the test tube, the doctor had found that the gas that the, you know, that I don't know what you call him, like the gasser guy that jumps out, that was causing these weird tumors in the brain. And the doctor found that they're actually able to use that to turn people into the wall rider thing.
Oh.
And so, like, there's only one of those, I'm pretty sure, at least until Outlast 1. And there's a lot of failed experiments. So you become a participant in that trial. But, yeah, that's essentially the spoiler or the lore ending where you find out, like, the Outlast trial is directly correlated to the Mount Massive stuff. But there's this the gas thing that they spray at you. Those are actually Murkoff employees that had gone crazy as a result of just like being their exposure in the previous trial.
The gas people?
Yeah.
Oh.
So those are Murkoff employees that Murkoff didn't have control over. Because like those are basically uncontrolled environments at that point.
Yeah.
They're just witnessing everything, taking notes and hoping your guy makes it out alive. They didn't really care if he did or not, but the ones who did became agents. But there's this interesting thing. When you get gassed, a lot of patients were talking about the Skinner man or Dr. Skinner, who's this like figure in the gas. He's a skull and he has these like black tentacles behind his head.
I'd say that's like probably the scariest thing in the game.
I don't even he's remember chased seeing by him.
Yeah, you see him if your insanity goes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I never got hit with that, but yeah, he's apparently not just like a crazy vision. He's a real character, and the doctor in the wheelchair thinks he's a god or something.
Huh.
And the tumors in the brain correlated to seeing that entity, and he called like those tumors the fingerprint of God or something.
Huh.
And that it's not really explained what that is. It's just kind of something that exists and they're studying it. Separate than the wall rider, separate than Murkoff and all that stuff.
So he just like wanders around and waits for you to get gassed and then he tries to kill you?
No, I think that
he doesn't
like,
kill you though.
Doesn't he doesn't?
He gets you down to like one hit.
Oh.
I think he can only like harm you if your brain is changed to a certain extent. Not really the fact that it's the gas, it's the gas enabled your brain to see something from a different realm or dimension or something.
Oh, okay.
But even though there's a lot of documents, it basically goes over like the previous trial, the founding of the current trial, internal memos all throughout the current trial, and then a few afterwards. And I don't know how they got the ones afterwards, but at least the ones during, it was implied that the crazy gasser people were leaking the memos. And like it was some were getting out to the public or something, and that's how people were finding the documents. But it's not a super deep story. Like on the surface, they're just turning into sleeper agents, and you just go like are assassins for them that have no remorse. But yeah, there's a lot of other stuff in it, and I might watch like over the course of like a month that timeline video.
Yeah.
But Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's nothing groundbreaking.
Yeah, I don't think it adds to the overall story much, but it seems like it supplements.
It gives a good backstory to things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That guy with the tentacles is interesting, though.
Yeah, they didn't really explain much about him, but...
The Skinner doctor or whatever.
From what someone online said that someone who from Red Barrels, I'm assuming that's the developer, right? Red Barrels?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
They said that they kind of wish that they didn't make Outlast Trials because they want to make an Outlast 3, but now they have to commit to Outlast Trials to make it good, and then they can make 3.
Oh.
So, like, they said they've been working on it for much longer than they wanted to.
Well, I mean, it's fully out now, so...
It's not a bad game.
They could start working on...
It's yeah. You can't expect the other games.
Well,
yeah.
there are the weekly missions, which I think we mentioned before, but...
Those are the same missions, though, right? Or same levels?
That, I don't know.
They do have holiday ones. And we never played these, but apparently there are missions where they would freeze. Like, the temperature would change to, like, freezing levels at a certain point, and you had to hide when that happened, or else you'd freeze to death. And they kind of, like, they gave documents about that where they would they wanted to test how they would work in freezing cold environments, like if they sent them to Siberia or like places in Russia for sleeper agent trials. They wanted them to be able to function in freezing environments. So that's
interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting. It's you don't get all that from playing the game. I mean, this whoever the channel I mentioned earlier spent so long putting that together.
Well, I mean, there's the documents that you could find in-game. I found a bunch of documents. I didn't read them. I kind of just picked them up. And
yeah.
Some of the things you can get for your room are newspaper clippings, and there's lore on those. And just random stuff like that. That is just randomly around the world, and you have to hunt for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool that they included that in there.
Yeah.
Was it, it's like the one meme I sent you the other day, Caleb? Or it's like from software fans when the story is just like put right in front of you instead of like on the description of a moldy shoe and has a video of a dude screaming.
That's true.
Yeah. Some games like that are fun. I mean, the lore isn't directly fed to you and you have to kind of work for it or watch videos on it.
That's partially why I like FromSoft stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
it's because I love like looking at lore and stuff.
I still haven't watched something on Elden Ring. I should watch a video.
I have. Yeah,
it's very interesting.
It's very complicated. I've watched multiple, but I don't remember any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Other games like more like Outlast have a deeper story, which is, I think, more interesting overall.
I love the Outlast world.
Yeah.
Story. I just wish. Well, I mean. I like Outlast Trials. It's just
say it's a good game overall. It's nothing like the originals, and it's nowhere near as scary.
Basically, we're waiting for Outlast 3.
Yeah,
at this point, we want Outlast 3.
We would have preferred that.
Yeah.
We don't regret buying Outlast Trials.
No,
because we got a good amount of time out of it, even though we haven't.
Well, we still have yet to do the release thing. So, yes.
I know a lot of people really like this gameplay, though. So some people just like going to the harder difficulties. And, yeah, I mean, and trying to survive.
It's kind of fun. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But right. Is that cover everything?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. We all pretty much recommend it to people who like that type of gameplay.
But you gotta have friends to play with.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
Have yeah, people do play solo from what I've
read. It'd
be so
read. Difficult.
But they say it's scary solo.
Well, actually, yeah, that's true.
But I feel like it'd be hard.
Snitch mission would be so annoying solo.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to push it and then go hide and actually make use of those mechanics. But, alright, I think that covers everything. Thank you for watching CubelCast. We'll see you in the next episode.